Lord in the temple. They didn't just hire anybody. Even in the Old Testament and Scripture, they hired skilled musicians. And obviously, we're learning. We're in high school. But they are really good. And we're one of the few churches in the local area that actually has youth student-led worship. And I don't know how God did it. I'm just on the roller coaster ride with you guys. Thanks, Connor. Servant leader right there, ladies and gentlemen. We are starting a new sermon series today, and it's just the introduction, so it will be quick. We're introducing the book of 2 Timothy. Here at Faith Student Ministries, we like to go topical, and then we like to bounce back and do exegetical, meaning it comes right out of Scripture. So we bounce between the two. We'll do a topical series, sex, love, and dating, and then we'll just go through the book of the Bible. There's something special about just teaching a book of the Bible. First of all, because our nation is so biblically illiterate, they assume so much about what God says, and yet they've never actually read it for themselves. So that's one of the goals of why we go through the books of the Bible, is so that you would become biblically literate. You'd understand it. You'd know it. Some of you have been taught it your whole life, and my other prayer is that not only this morning would you understand it, but that it would come to life, that the Holy Spirit would breathe his yes behind it and his amen behind it. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. I'm excited to introduce this book to you guys this morning. If you don't have your Bibles, feel free to whip out the app on your phone. Be responsible. We do have adult leaders that can see what you're looking at. Don't be surfing Facebook unless you're going to like the Faith Student Ministries page. And if you don't have a hard copy of the Scriptures or an app, our hospitality team, our student leaders are going to be so kind to give you a Bible. So why don't you boldly raise your hand, knowing that next week you're going to bring your Bible, but this week we're having grace and mercy. Bibles, anybody? Keep them up. All right, so here's 2 Timothy. I want to set the scene for you guys a little bit. So if you got your hand up, feel free to keep your eyes open. But everybody else, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to give you guys just a vision of what's happening in the book of 2 Timothy. It's written by a man named Paul. And Paul's an apostle of Jesus Christ, which means he goes around, he plants churches, he starts churches. He wrote half the New Testament. He preaches, he writes letters, he encourages, he disciples. He does a lot of the things that I do, but just on a much larger scale. So if it helps you, think of the context of a local pastor. Think of me. Think of Pastor George. Think of a local pastor in a church. Now, Paul, by no means would we see ourselves on the same level. And hopefully by God's grace, we could be used to that capacity. But I'm just trying to bring it down to earth a little bit for you guys. So picture just a senior leader in the church that you really value, you really respect. And then that person, for preaching the gospel, the good news of Christ, is thrown into prison. And they know while in prison that it's going to be the end of their life. This is the last book he wrote before the end of his life. So that person you respect, that spiritual leader you respect, is in prison for doing what is good, and it's going to be the end of their life. And they turn back and they write a letter to you because they discipled you. Guys that I personally disciple, think about that. It'd be like me being in prison right now, knowing it's the end of my life, and I'm writing you the last letter you'll ever get from me. You guys can look up. That's the scene of the book of 2 Timothy. Paul is in prison. He's the author of this letter. And he's writing to his beloved son in ministry, who is now a pastor of his own church. So it'd be similar to Pastor George writing me a letter, right? Paul was probably in his 50s. Timothy probably in his 20s. And Paul's in prison, and he writes this last letter. And he actually asks for some things, because he doesn't know how long he's going to last. But he says, I feel the end is near. I know they're going to execute me. But if you could you bring some things to write with and some things to study with? So even to the end, he was planning on writing more scriptures and studying the word more. Even to the very end, he was going to persevere. And that's really the theme of the book of 2 Timothy, is perseverance. So that's the scene, you guys. Would you want to read that letter? If that was from me, I know if it was from Pastor George, if it was from a spiritual leader I respect, and that was the situation, I would value that letter. And my prayer this morning is that you would value the words of Paul to Timothy, but more so the words of God through Paul to you. God used a man to write this, but God is speaking to you. So if you turn to 2 Timothy, we're going to be at the very beginning. And before we start, I just want to give you a little bit more. The theme is a bold and clear call for perseverance in the gospel despite suffering. Many of you this morning came up and got prayer and received prayer because it's just hard. Life is just hard. And what you see in the book of 2 Timothy, whether it's Paul being in prison or it's Timothy dealing with ministry, because ministry is hard too. Whether you're free and out of prison and you're still just dealing with life, just dealing with school, just dealing with girlfriends and boyfriends and life and sports and athletics, life is just hard. And what you see in the book of Timothy is a call to persevere, a call to endure, not a call to escape, not a call to run, not a call to change our theology, to pretend that when you're a Christian, everything is just happy rainbow popsicles and unicorns, but a call to endure. And we endure because of the hope of Christ. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. Paul, in this hardship, in prison, about to die, is writing to a young man in ministry saying, endure, endure. People have even abandoned Paul. He mentions it several times in the letter. And he urges Timothy to stand firm and ask him for one final visit. That tells you that their relationship was close. So the letter we're reading isn't just between associates. This is literally his beloved son in ministry. And he actually asks him, could you just come visit me one last time? That shows you how close they were. So that means we should value it even more in that regard. The literary feature of this book, remember when we talked about Bible driving school, how to navigate actually reading the word and using the word? We talked about how some books of the Bible are poetry. Some of them are narrative, meaning stories. Some of them are letters, which is what this one is. And you need to understand that if you're going to rightfully understand the context and be able to apply it. Remember we talked about all that in Bible driving school. Well, this one is an epistle, which just means a letter. It's a letter from Paul to Timothy. We said that. But it's also a farewell discourse. You see this in other places in the Bible. You see it in the book of Deuteronomy when Moses gives his farewell discourse, when Joshua, David, Jesus, in Joshua and Book of Chronicles and the Book of John, you see them giving farewell discourses as well. So what we see is the speaker's announcement of his imminent departure. So Paul talks about the fact that he's going to be gone soon and then directs Timothy to obey his commands while he's away. What Paul most wants Timothy to heed for the rest of his life and ministry as spoken from a last word from a spiritual father are in this book. Think about that, you guys. The last word from a spiritual father that he would want Timothy to heed for the rest of his life. And that's my prayer, is that you guys we go into this study in the next 6 or 7 weeks. We'll see what the Holy Spirit does. As we go into this study, I want you to take those words and be able to apply them literally to the rest of your life. That you would still look back on these notes that you took right here. And you'd look back, just as Timothy, I'm sure, looked back on this letter time and time and time again. When Paul was long gone, when I am long gone from your life, your adult leaders are long. Not that they've abandoned you, but that you've moved on. You've gone to college, and we're only one Skype call away. We're only one Facebook message away. But in reality, we're not in your daily lives like we used to be. Or God forbid, we're actually taken from this earth. That you would persevere and that you'd look back on your notes from the next coming weeks and say, man, God really has grown that in me. I really do see that fruit in my life. And you could be encouraged by that. Okay. So that's the setting. So let's get into it. What is Paul trying to tell Timothy? Let's actually read what he says. And what is God trying to tell us through it? Verse 1, Paul, so that's the author, an apostle of Christ Jesus. So the first thing he puts is his identity. Paul knew exactly who he was, and that enabled him to know what he should do. Too many of you right now in high school want to know what you should do before you understand who you are. Instead of asking the question, who am I? You ask the question, what should I do? Homework, sports, relationships. And you go from A to B to C doing things instead of asking, wait, who am I? Once you know who you are, you will know what to do. Once you know that you're a son or daughter of the King, you will know how to live and love God and love others and make disciples. Once you know your identity, you'll know what to do. So I encourage you, start asking that question, who am I? And if you don't know who you are, God has already told you. You don't have to discover your identity and just make it up off the top of your head. God has communicated what your identity already is. You just got to go read it. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, so that's his authority. He's not saying, in my own will, I've exalted myself. You think that Rob just came up on the stage and I decided to be a pastor and I just said, I'm going to do this? No, God called me. And godly men above me called me and appointed me to this position. And in the same way, Paul is saying, look, God appointed me to this position. It's by God's authority, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. That's his motivation. So right in that first sentence, you have the author, you have his identity, you have the authority that backs him, and you have his motivation. His motivation is what? The promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Guys, that's the same motivation. It's the why I get up every day and I go to the office or I visit you at school or I come here and communicate the word of God. It's so that you would find the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. That is good news. Now, if you don't understand the bad news, that you are separated from God because of your sin, you won't value the good news. But too often, sometimes we stay there in the bad news. The good news is there's life in Christ. There's life in Christ. That could be the answer to every single situation you face. People say, why do you do this or don't do this? Why don't you smoke weed? Why don't you go to the parties? Why don't you? Because there's life in Christ. You paint the picture of the good news. Now, there's legitimate reasons I don't do that because it's health concerns and legal issues, and we could go into that whole argument, but you know what the real reason is? Because there's real life in Christ. I found something better. Now, when you find something that tastes better, you're going to eat the Thanksgiving meal over a Hot Pocket any day. Unless your body is literally addicted to the toxins in the Hot Pocket. And that's what happens is in the world, we become addicted to the counterfeit things. The counterfeit friendships through Facebook. The counterfeit highs through drug and alcohol use. We get counterfeit intimacy through sexual sin and things like that. And we forget the real, authentic things that are found in Christ. To Timothy, my beloved child. So there's the recipient of the letter. And there's his identity, a beloved child. Guys, you guys are like beloved children to me. And I know it's more like an older brother because of my age. But I take the mantle God has placed on my life to be your shepherd very seriously. And he has given me a love for you that I've never had before. I've never loved people in this way. I love my wife, but I've never loved a group of people like this. And he continues to stir that in me. So let me speak that over you today. Not only are you God's beloved child, oh, you are, so much more so, but you're my beloved child in a way. And if you have a mentor in this room, an adult leader, you're their beloved child. And hopefully, I don't know the background of your home, but hopefully, obviously, your parents' beloved child. But even if not, you are God's, you are Christ. That is your identity. I thank God whom I serve as I did my ancestors. So he points to his legacy with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers. So Paul's first reaction to this, Paul's first thing he wants to put in this letter to Timothy is that he thanks Christ. He thanks God for them. And guys, that's the same thing I do. When I thank God for this opportunity. Man, Bryce McCall is now leading the men's group Lust Free Living on Friday nights. There's 16 new guys and John's helping them out. And Friday night, he said, when they were all around the circle, he said, you know, at first when Rob asked me to do this and appointed me to lead this group, I thought, wow, that might stir up some pride in me. But now that it's actually here and I see you guys in my living room and Rob thought I was fit to lead you guys and that God would use me, he said, it humbled me. It humbled me that God would use me. And I'm just so thankful. Guys, that's Paul's response to Timothy, and that's my response to you guys. I am so thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be your pastor. I hope that's what you guys see in me and understand. And I hope you guys are thankful to be here, because I bet you Timothy was thankful to get this letter from Paul. Actually, I want to go back to the second part of verse 2. I skipped it. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. First thing he says, this is actually a trademark of Paul. When Paul would write a letter, he would begin and end, grace and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Why does he do that? Is it just sentiment? Is it just his opening? Is it just like we say, Dear Heavenly Father? It's like we just say that at the beginning of a prayer and then we keep going. Is it just sentiment? Is it just words? Is it just for the sake of filling some space on the page like you guys do when you try to get a 5-page essay in. Well, that's college. You guys try to get a 1-page essay in, and you're like half a page, like double space, add some periods, change the font to 13. Oh, it's still not fitting. Close the margins in. Is it? He's just trying to fill space? No, it's not sentiment. It's literally the first thing he puts because he prioritizes grace, mercy, and peace first in the life of a Christian. He puts it first in his letter because he literally thinks it's first. So what does that mean? Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace, this is the first point, should permeate everything you do. It should be the beginning. It should be preeminent. It should be first. And that's why this morning I stopped everything and tried to let God convey some grace, mercy, and peace to you guys. If you're unsettled, if you're restless, if you're stressed, if you don't have mercy, if you haven't received his mercy, the fact that he hasn't punished you for your wrongdoing, and in Christ, he will never punish you because Christ took it. And then his grace, the fact that not only does he not punish you, he gives you life and life to the full and heaven and friendships and loving community. And he gives you all these other things on top of just not punishing you. And then peace, the fact that knowing that you're at peace with him, there's nothing that stands in between you. Just like, you know, when I get in an argument with Bethany, because you get in fights with those you love, and you can fight to the glory of God. And how you do that is you work through the conflict, and you resolve it, and you repent, and you come back together, and actually you'll be closer rather than just avoiding the conflict and having artificial harmony, pretending like everything's okay. It's better to work through it. But when we're working through that, there's a moment there where there isn't peace because we're not at peace. And in the same way, there's moments where it feels like you're not at peace with God, and so how could you have the peace of God? But let me remind you that Christ came, and his cross is what brings the peace with God so you can have the peace of God. So if you're restless, go back to the cross. If you're stressed, go back to the cross. Look on the cross. Grace, mercy, and peace. Which one are you needing this morning? Which one are you needing? That's the first thing Paul starts with. That's the first thing we're going to start with in this sermon series. What are you needing? Are you needing God's mercy to just know that all the things you've done wrong, he doesn't hold against you? If you are in Christ, he's let them go. He literally remembers them no more, the Bible said. He doesn't even think about them. Now, he's all-knowing. He knows what happened, but he chooses not to even dwell on that because Christ took it. Are you needing his mercy? Are you needing his grace? You know he's forgiven you. You rest in that, but you're not able to go on in power. You've been appointed to lead the men's group on Friday night like Bryce has, and he's saying, wow, I need supernatural strength and perseverance and protection from the enemy if I'm going to be able to lead this and step out and actually do it. That's grace. See, God's mercy is when he catches you. God's grace is when he pushes you back up and empowers you to do it. Some of you need that grace. You need that grace to be able to proclaim Christ at your high schools in boldness and live with Jesus and not hide him when you're with certain friends and not live a double life. Some of you just need his grace to break through that. Some of you need his grace to break through an addiction. You know he forgives you. His mercy has caught you, but you need his grace to break through an addiction that's just binding you. And some of you just need peace. Some of you, you're receiving the mercy, you're receiving the grace. You need peace. And again, I say, look back on the cross. He has purchased peace for you. And if you're unsettled, it's probably because you're putting expectations on yourself that aren't of the Lord. He requires you to love God and love others. And then there's the Great Commission to make disciples. But first and foremost is love God, love others. And he comes in and does it. It's really not that hard. We add all this other stuff. I got to have a 4.0. I got to have the scholarship. I got to have the hot girlfriend. I got to have my parents pleased. We add it all on top of love God and love others. Go back to the cross. His peace will come. Guys, I'm going through this too. Just to be real with you, I go through this too. Like Bethany and I get restless. We're like, what are we doing? What's going on? I mean, I don't know if you guys saw my Facebook post, but I took a stress test in college. And it was actually in my book that I'm reading. I'm still in college while doing a full-time job. We have a son. He's over in the nursery. I mean, it's crazy. My season of life right now. And I'm taking this test. And I love it, and God is good, and I receive it, and it's weird. I'm growing, but it's also the hardship, and that's what you see in 2 Timothy, is there's hardship, but it produces growth. And I take this test, and it says, have you moved in the last year? Yes. Have you started a new job? Yes. Have you had a child? Yes. It's just like, yes, 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 yes. If you scored 300, then you have an 80% chance of health problems, serious health problems, disease, or depression. And I look at my score, 724. Guys, I would be dead if it wasn't for God's mercy and grace and peace. And I need more of it. I need more of it every day. I need to soak in his presence and receive it. But that's literally what's sustaining me, is his grace, mercy, and peace. So I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like. And TJ, you're spot on, dude. We need time with Jesus. I need time with Jesus. And I do. I study the word. I mean, this is my job. But I need that time, just like he said, that first fruits, that first thing in the morning, that going to the prayer. I need that. If I do not get that, I will not have grace, mercy, or peace. I mean, it's there, but I won't receive it. I won't taste it. And so I won't live it. So I want to give you guys a simple application in an acrostic form. If you're taking notes, write the word stress. Just down the page. Stress. S-T-R-E-S-S. Stress. You ready? And then the first S, stop. Just stop. Just stop. Well, this, that. Stop. Stop moving, stop doing, stop everything. T, trust. Stop, trust. What are we trusting? Trust God. Anyone watching the Bible series on Sunday nights? Whether it's Noah, Abraham, Moses, all of the characters, they keep saying this one. They say two things. They say, God is with us. And the other thing they say is, trust God. Right? Noah's on the boat with his family. What do we do? Trust God. Abraham's supposed to have a son, but Sarah's barren. What do we do? Trust God. Moses is leading people through the sea, and the Pharaoh is closing in on him. What does he do? Trust God. The waters part. Stop. Sometimes God puts things in front of us to make us stop. Sometimes he physically shuts down our bodies to make us stop. Sometimes he just, because we're just going and going and going, he has to do things in order to get us to stop. Trust. R, receive. Receive his grace, his mercy, his peace. How? How do you do that? Just like TJ said, you get in the word. You spend some time with them. You sit there. You don't do anything else. And you just focus on the Lord. And you receive it. You got to stop striving to earn it. If you're still striving to earn it, you're not going to be able to receive it. Just receive it. Thank you, Lord. Start saying it out loud so the enemy can hear it too. Because the enemy can't hear your thoughts. You say it out loud. Lord, I receive your grace this morning. I receive your mercy. Thank you for not punishing me and giving me what I deserve. Thank you for giving me above and beyond what I deserve in grace. Thank you for your peace. Thank you that we are cool. We are good. We are on the same terms, man. We are, because of what Jesus did, your son, we're cool. Thanks for hanging out with me. Just be real and receive. Next, E, encounter. Guarantee you, if you do that, you go to the word, you start receiving, you put on some worship music and you start praying out loud, you will encounter the living God. When you encounter the living God, everything changes. That stress will begin to dissipate when you encounter the living God. So encounter, next, surrender. Because then what happens is you got to give up control. You're stressed because you're in control. I would be stressed too if you're in control. What happens when a new teenage driver grabs the wheel? How do their parents respond, right? You got your permit. You tell your friends. I mean, this is what parents say. Parents are like, oh, watch out. My kid's on the road. They just got their permit. Yeah, everyone stay in. Stay home. Don't drive today. And they're just making fun of you, basically, and joking because you're going to cause some accident or you're not going to be able to handle the control. Because you're in control. Oh, man, that's dangerous. It's risky, right? And then eventually you learn how to drive better so you're not making those same mistakes, and eventually people are safe. And a lot of it's just harassment anyway. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Who's got their permit? Who's got their license? When you first started driving, was it like, stay off the roads? The fact that you're all driving makes me want to stay up. What? Stay off the sidewalks. Yeah, exactly. So the point is, in life, it's like that. When you're in control, it is scary. The longer you stay in control, the longer things aren't going to go very well. So you have to stop, park the car of life. You have to receive, right? You have to trust the Lord. You got to receive. You got to encounter him. And then you got to surrender. You got to say, all right, I'm going to the passenger seat. Chinese fire drill. Here, Jesus. Bam, you get in the passenger seat. You let him drive. You surrender, which means you surrender to his will, which means when he's saying something, you need to end this relationship. Okay, if you trust him and you're really receiving his grace and you really encounter him, that's really the only option. Okay, you're in control. You know what? I don't want you to take that golf scholarship. I want you to go do YWAM. Whoa, this is messing up my whole worldview. I thought you were here to make my life better and make me money and get me to college. No, I'm here to proclaim my glory to the earth and spread the gospel. I want you to do YWAM. Surrender. You're the driver. And oh, by the way, I want you to be single for the rest of your life like Paul. You're the driver. I don't know what he's saying to you. And then the last S, submit. Submit. You surrender, and then you submit. That means you carry out the things he's actually commanded you to carry out. When he actually speaks to you and commands something, you surrender, you let him take control, but then you actually fulfill. You actually submit and obey. And you can only do that by Christ's power. I guarantee you guys, you take that process, stress will begin to decrease in your life. And I've been going through a lot of stress, so I know. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with three fingers back at me, my old pastor used to say. Two, you are appreciated and wanted. Paul says, and that's all the verses we're reading. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, as I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul was thankful for Timothy. I'm thankful for you. You are appreciated, you guys. When you're doing things for the Lord that I don't see, that your parents don't see, your teachers don't see, that nobody sees, and you help that elderly woman with her groceries, or you hold the door for somebody, or you're serving the poor, or you just say hi to someone that you think needs a smile, or you go and sit next to that kid at the lunch table. I don't know. Whenever you do something that is in God's good word and you apply it to your life, or even if it's just recognizing the truth and saying, you know what, Lord, I recognize that truth and I stand upon it. No one else knew. No one else saw it. It wasn't this major transformation. It was just you and God, and you agreed to what his word said in your own private time. He sees and he knows. We always use it in the other way. We say, God sees when you're sinning. God knows all things. He knows what you're doing wrong. That is true. But he knows what you're doing right. And he sees when you succeed, and he's cheering you on, and he's proud of you. And not only him, I am. Just as Paul was for Timothy, I'm thankful for you guys. I'm proud of you guys. You have nothing to prove to me. I say that to the worship team. You don't. I'm already proud. Why strive to win my approval? I already, A+, you already got it. Because you love Jesus, A+. You don't love, it's pass or fail, man. You don't love Jesus. I pray you come to love Jesus. You have nothing to prove. You're appreciated and wanted. And point three, your faith has legacy. So God's mercy, grace, and peace should permeate everything you do. Number two, you're appreciated, you're valued, you're wanted. I want you here. I'm so glad you're here. You're wanted. You don't have to try to be wanted by people that and earn their favor, whether that's a relationship, your parents. I don't know who's showing you that they don't want you, but I want you here. God wants you. You are wanted. You're valued. And then lastly, your faith has legacy. Why do I say that? Verse 4, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. So they had a close relationship. 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith. So he had authentic, real faith in Jesus, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Paul says, man, you are an amazing young man. You're pastoring this church. You love Jesus. I'm so proud of you. And man, I'm thankful for your mom and your grandma. What does that have to do with anything? Paul honors legacy. You know what's going to cause you to be a little bit less stressed and just to trust the Lord and rely on him? You are in your seat today because someone else made a sacrifice for you, period. Somebody loved you to get you here. Obviously God, but somebody else laid down their agenda, laid down their time, gave some money, a shelter, food, clothing. Somehow you made it here to where you are today, and you need to honor them. You need to honor that legacy. Because Paul is the one that lifted up Timothy. And Paul doesn't say, hey, man, I bestowed pastoral leadership on you. I planted that church and gave it to you. He says, no, man, I honor your mom. I honor your grandma because they love Jesus. So in the same way, you guys need to start honoring your parents for the fact that they love Jesus. If they don't, you need to honor whoever it was that led you to Christ. And you need to go remind them of what God's doing in your life. You need to go back to them and say, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I'm plugged into my youth group. And I'm loving Jesus. And I'm learning a lot out of 2 Timothy right now. And we're just so proud and just so thankful. And I just, you blessed me. And man, I just hope I can bless you too. Your faith has a legacy. Somebody went before you. Obviously, the patriarchs in the Old Testament, the prophets, and then we have the apostles in the New Testament. But I'm not just talking about those cloud of witnesses, the Bible says. I'm talking about right there in your home, right there in your community. Who brought you to faith in Christ? Go and thank them. Go and honor them. And here's the application to that. Do you have a mentor? Some of you are like, I don't know what my legacy is. Then you probably don't have a mentor. You probably never had a mentor. Find one. Find a mentor. What's a mentor? A mentor is a Paul to a Timothy. A mentor is someone who can show you by example how to live out Christ and also teach you with their words how to articulate Christ. Some of you don't have that mentor. Find one. And then 5 years from now, you can look back and say, and then you can thank them and you can say, man, I honored this legacy. I wouldn't be where I am today without you. Some of you need to start now and find a mentor. My example would be Chet Herzog, who's in this room right now. I was in the same seat you are, and he mentored me. And he has a heart for the orphans and the widows. And although I'm not orphan, I'm fatherless in a sense because my parents are divorced and he lives in California. Chet steps in, becomes a spiritual role model to me. And God was gracious enough to give me several role models and examples. But he being one that was close to me like a Paul, still is close to me like a Paul. And the things he still says to me still carry a ton of weight, and I still value them. And if he were to say, hey, I sat down, I wrote you a letter, I would read it and I would value it and I would apply it. But he's one of my mentors, still is to this day. So Chet, I honor you. I thank you for the investment you poured into me. And I hope every Sunday you get to see me proclaiming Christ because of the good work that you deposited in me. And I still go to his home on Sunday nights. I still find community for my wife and I. And now the deposit he's making in my wife, I honor you. I honor you and I thank you just as Paul thanked Timothy's elders. So thank you so much. And you guys need to honor a mentor. If you don't have one, you need to find a mentor. You need to join a small group on Wednesday night. We're going to be going through 2 Timothy, and you need to join a small group. Some of you are like, well, I don't have anyone else. I don't have a Paul-Timothy relationship. Make one. Join a small group. Adult leaders are the ones that lead small groups, and we do that strategically, not only so you could have conversation and learn the Word of God through discussion, but also so that you could connect with them, talk with them before and after, and get their phone numbers, and they can become your mentor. Find a mentor, and then stay faithful. Guys that I'm mentoring, get me your journals, stay faithful. You guys are doing a good job, but just stay faithful. That's Paul we're going to see further on, 2 Timothy. That's Paul's second challenge, endure. If you're already being discipled, you're a student leader and you're being discipled or you're discipling someone else, endure. Enemy is going to try to take you out. You step into the position of leadership, my friends, he's going to try to take you out. Endure for your sake and for the sake of your disciple. Because think about Paul. If Paul would have been in that prison and bitter and messed up and just said, man, God sucks. I can't believe he did this to me. Get me out of here. It would have wrecked his entire legacy. It would have stained. Even if Timothy was like, whoa, that's not Paul. That's not right. It still would have kind of stained him a little bit. It would have been like, oh, that bitterness, that seed would have been planted. And then Timothy's whole church probably would have got a little taste of that. And then it would have been exponential. But no, in hardship, Paul stands on the word. Paul receives the grace and the peace. He doesn't stress out. He allows God to come in, and he gives honor to where honor is due. Okay, so I'm excited for 2 Timothy. That's just the introduction. We're going to get into it more and more in the weeks to come. Bryce and John are actually going to co-do a sermon because they're both seniors here, and they're on the pastoral team. They're going to do a sermon in this series, so I'm excited for that. So stay tuned. Join a small group, you guys. Come out this Wednesday night. Get plugged in. Find a mentor. Find your Paul. Who's your Paul? Let me pray. Father, we love you. I'm so thankful for the mentors you placed in my life, Father. And even now, even as Chet, and even the other adult leaders, they're just surrounding me, and Jamie and Carrie and all of them. They've been a community to me and my wife, and I need that. I need that. And even as Chet, just going through this hard time, just how when he and his wife, how Carrie wrote that Facebook post about the lifeline, the support that community has been to them. That's how it's supposed to be. And I pray every single student here in that in those times would find the lifeline of community here at FSM. They wouldn't have to keep searching. It's right here. Christian brothers and sisters sitting right next to you. Just got to step out. Stop being antisocial and Facebook them later. No, just right here. Go and talk to them after. Build a friendship. Go talk to a mentor. You got to reach out. So, Father, I pray they would find their Paul. And I pray they would be encouraged by the words of Paul, an old man in prison who did tons of ministry, who wrote half the New Testament, who did more ministry probably than we will ever do in our lifetimes. Would we receive his word to us that you're speaking through him? We're thankful for Scripture. We're thankful for the legacy. I honor the legacy of Timothy and Paul. Would we be encouraged? Would we join a small group? Would we be doers of the word in Jesus' name? Amen. Have a good day, you guys.